What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station today on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
All right, Woody, thank you. Alan Poupart, publisher of Miami Dolphins on SI, host of the All Dolphins podcast, joins us this morning. So how'd you hold up? 22 penalties, three penalties picked up, and then throw in a couple of those measurements in the new technology of the iHawk system world that took like 2 minutes each. How'd you hold up watching that one?
Got better in the second half, because in the first half, woo-wee, that was some butt-ugly football right there.
Yeah, you're going to get that. As soon as all the starters or most of them, you go, well, get ready. Here we go. Hey, by the way, let's get into some of that. So there were two thoughts. First of all, I got this at halftime. We didn't run the ball. What was that all about? Like, we're not running the ball and we're throwing a lot. And somebody said, let's get Zach Wilson some work. He's a backup quarterback and we got to get him caught up just in case number one goes down. And that's the only way I could read into it. With it, and on top of that, I thought the pass protection on the offensive line was really good for both guys, Quinn Ewers and Zach Wilson. What'd you think?
No, without question. And you didn't see those situations where Zach Wilson wound up hanging onto the ball like he did against the Bears. The other part of the problem with the running game is they did run six times, which is a very, very low amount. They got 5 yards.
Yeah.
Out on the six carries, which is ridiculously bad. And at some point, okay, do you keep working on it no matter what? Do you try to go to something that's actually going to let your offense have the ball a little bit more? And this is where maybe I'd like to see something positive happen for Jalen Wright in the preseason, because right now it's a rough go.
So I talked about this morning. I don't know if you've been listening, but I said Jalen Wright either – he does get hit behind the line of scrimmage. It seems like there's always a breakdown, a blitz guys comes through, or somebody gets beat, or he just gets stopped. I can't get a read on it, but I think we've all seen Ollie Gordon II has made a nice move. Do you feel like that thing could still be open for carries behind Achan, that it's still a possibility he can move ahead and get some of Jalen Wright's carries?
Oh, he absolutely should. If we're going by the way each has looked this summer, absolutely. And it's not just the preseason games, even in training camp the whole time. And that's the thing, like Jalen Wright, the Dolphins gave up like a third round pick to get him last year with the fourth extra that they acquired. And he showed flashes last year. Then you see the post on social media in the offseason where he looks, you know, completely cut. And always fast to begin with, so you're thinking, boom, this guy's going to be in for a big second year, and just haven't seen it again, even in practice. And you made a very good point there. The thing that's troublesome to me is, he's getting really, really bad blocking in front of him, but he also doesn't make anybody miss, and he's not breaking tackles.
Yeah.
And we've seen some of that from Gordon, which immediately, to me, kind of should put him ahead. I do think, though, they're going to exhaust the idea of Jalen Wright as a number two before they move out to Gordon. But I think now it's a battle, absolutely.
So help me out on this offensive line, because pass protection really throughout, and it was a lot of the same guys, actually. Keon Smith played the whole frigging game. So you look at, do we feel better about the backups? Are we still looking? Am I reading into it too much against the Lions D-line? We got to find backup guys, and then more specifically, I'd ask you about Larry Borum and how you feel about him now being an extra tackle once Austin comes back.
Yeah, I am not crazy about it, but he did have a pretty decent showing from what I could gather and from what I could see. The interior guys is an issue, and this is where it doesn't help that both Eichenberg and Andrew Meyer are being hurt, I should say. And who knows what their status is as far as the regular season opener is, because Mike McDaniel said last week, not back, quote unquote, anytime soon. That's a little problematic. And I don't think it's up to snuff right now what the Dolphins have as backups on the interior of the line. Larry Borman wouldn't necessarily thrill me if the Dolphins would have to go to him on a long-term basis, but this is where we are. I don't know that you're going to get like a really high-end, you know, offensive tackle to come in as a backup, because the idea of trading for one is awesome, except you got a good one. Find me a team that's really going to be willing to let him go.
So you have some positions. We're going to get into it. And you know, the number one position, that the cornerback position. So I was feeling pretty good, man, pretty darn good about Ethan Bonner. And yep. I thought, man, he's making a move. He's going to start with Storm Duck when this thing starts the season. He pulls his hamstring. Now, I don't know how bad it is, but he didn't come back. How do you feel about the whole group? And I know they just went against a pair of, I don't know where you rank Detroit starting two wide receivers, but they're pretty damn good. But, boy, our guys kind of been up and down. You've watched every practice. You've been to a lot of these joint practices and stuff. How do you read in the cornerback group now that we're on the downside of this camp?
Would it be too easy for me that the word I would use is queasy?
You can use that.
Fine. There you go. Hat tip Joe Philbin circa 2013 or something like that. and you made the great point about Ethan Bonner. I was like, man, this dude's coming on. He's starting to play some good ball. And then if you notice, he's the one who started the game against the Lions. Read into that what you want, but he was making a move. And I did hear you earlier talking about how much of a wild card Jack Jones Jr. is. And, yeah, you nailed it. And I know a lot of defensive coordinators, what they like, in especially at that position, somebody they can trust. See Vic Fangio with Cam Smith. Can Anthony Weaver trust Jack Jones to be on his assignments and to not bite on a double move, like you saw one of the 17 different highlights from Amon-Ra St. Brown practice on Wednesday.
All with 23 chasing them, exactly.
And then I'll give you a great counterpart to that. See the ISO, the touchdown in the corner by Isaac Tesla, the rookie. He made like some like a nice double move in right in front of Cornell Armstrong, and Cornell hat tipped to him, didn't bite, was right with Tesla in the corner of the end zone, just didn't play the ball very well. But that's the difference.
Yes.
Because he was right there. He didn't bite. And the problem with that, like, for example, I don't know if Kendall Sheffield is going to bite on double moves either. Kendall Sheffield, to me, lacks, like, the high-end deep speed. And I know he told reporters after one of the practices in Chicago, after one of the joint practice, that he once ran, like, a 4.26. And I'm like, I'm sorry, when was this? Because I don't see 4.26 anywhere near that from Kendall Sheffield. Storm Duck is solid, but you don't have a clear number one. You Cater's your best cornerback, and he's out for the year. So yeah, it's not a position of great comfort right now.
Hey, so let's talk about the Zach Wilson. He looked more comfortable, and again, he had more time to throw. He missed two throws that he'd love to have back, including deep pass down the middle to Eskridge. That was set and was going to be a big play, and he underthrew that one. He missed another receiver in the end zone for a touchdown. But overall, what did you think of Zach?
A lot better in Chicago, but then again, that was a pretty low bar. There's still a lot of inconsistency there, and I don't know that we're going to get away from that anytime soon. As I mentioned earlier, either the receivers were getting open more quickly or was seeing things quicker in this game. The thing that bothered me the most about his game against the Bears was the sacks he took and how long he just kept. There was no internal clock with him. The pocket presence was bad. And he's going to make some wild throws because he's got the arm for it. It's just consistency is not going to be there. I think Dolphin fans have to accept that. I also want to throw out there, if I may, this notion that Quinn Ewers, because he looked really good and had two touchdown passes against the Lions, should challenge him for the number two spot right now, to me, is at the risk of being rude, borderline ridiculous, because let's not forget he accomplished this in the second half of a preseason game against threes. And against a vanilla defense, which is nothing like what he would see in a regular season game.
Yes, you're right. I'm with you 100% on that one. So let's get down a little bit. All you guys starting to look at the 53-man roster and try to figure out around injuries, by the way. But so the pass rushers, I did notice, and I'm like everybody, Cameron Good not only made some more tackles on special teams, the guy played a lot in the game as a pass rusher on the outside, and he moved ahead of some other guys. How do you feel about Derek McClendon, Quentin Bell, and Grayson Murphy on this football team? They can't keep them all.
No, they can't. Funny you should mention that, because I'm actually working right now on my latest roster projection, and that's one of the toughest ones for me. I've had Cameron Good on the roster because of being more well-rounded as a player, can contribute on special teams. I think he's more dependable against the run, just doesn't have the high-end pass rushing potential of
the other guys. Yes.
Yeah, correct. Derek McClendon and Grayson Murphy. And Grayson Murphy keeps shining as a pass rusher.
Yep.
Again, I hate to be that guy, but it's against in the second half against threes. Is he going to do that against Orlando Brown?
Yeah.
Is he going to do that against that kind of offensive lineman? That's a question. And then with some of these guys, it's all about the pass rush, and sometimes – they lose their lane responsibility, and boom, you need to have a screen pass over them, or somebody runs right by them. So I'm still inclined to go with Cameron Good as the guy.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station today on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
But it wouldn't surprise me if they went with the higher upside. I do think Quinton Bell's pretty much a lock again, because he's somebody who's more well-rounded than the young guys.
The other one, the other position of that is interesting for me is this defensive line. You're keeping all three draft picks, right? Your three defensive tackles, Biggers and Phillips and Grant, all on the team, right? 53.
Yeah, I think so. And I think Biggers and Matt Dickerson are kind of pretty even. But Biggers has the Biggers upside. So I think you go with him. Plus, he brings extra value because he's blocked field goals or extra points during his time in college. And you see him, he's come close a couple of times here too.
Benito Jones played in that game. Speaking of starters, that he was one of the guys that did play to start the game. Do I read into that at all? Or he's solid and still a good run stopper and they're going to need him?
Yeah, I made a point about that on social media. That was weird to me. I guess the only reason I can think of is they were short on defensive tackles because they have – what's the number? They have like maybe seven. Zach Thieler wasn't playing, so maybe they didn't want to overtax the other guys. But that was a little bit weird to me. But, no, yeah, to me, he's very solid.
So the guy, D. Eskridge, is fifth receiver, yes? I think
he is. He's fourth receiver.
Oh, you got him at a Washington and Akine too, both ahead of both guys.
Yep, but Westbrook Akine is going to make the team because the Dolphins went out and signed him and gave him some, guaranteed money there. But Eskridge has been way more productive throughout camp.
Yes. So what happened to Taj Washington? They like him. Can they sneak him on, or do they put him on a practice squad and hope?
That's a great question, right? Or they keep six. That would be the other option. They've done that before. I mean, and they've also kept four. Normally your target number, the ideal number, is five.
Yeah.
Do the Dolphins decide Taj Washington has too much explosive in the open field, we can't expose him to waivers? Maybe. That's a big question there.
All right. At some point, I know they're bringing him along slowly. Sure would like to see Mr. Waller play this week a little bit, run around and go against some guys one-on-one and getting open and see how he runs. I'm really curious. He looks great. So I'm on the sideline, walking around. Man, the guy looked like he's in shape. I just want to see it. You had a nice year off. Are we going to see him back this week? And how much do you count on him, or is he just out of the picture for you?
No, he's not completely out. If he doesn't practice this week, then I stop counting on him, because yeah, I've seen him too. And if he doesn't look in football shape, quote unquote football shape, I don't know what that looks like. It's holy moly.
Right.
I mean, Jesus. And I asked Mike McDaniel about that last week, and he repeated the same point. He didn't want Waller to go from retirement to a joint practice. Well, guess what? They're going to have a couple of practices by themselves this week before the joint practice against Jacksonville. If he's not out there this week, I'm reaching OBJ status.
Alan, we've been talking about this all morning. Woody's been on it for a while too. We've been talking about how important, once we get past all this, that opener is on the road against the Colts for this team, for their confidence, for guys, and hopefully you're healthy with all these guys coming back to get a win. I know it's on the road. I know it's going to be loud. You got to win that game. It really sets the tone for the season, especially with the schedule. Do you agree with that? The importance without of that question. First game? Yeah.
Yeah, without question. You're not talking about a juggernaut of a team, and right now they don't even know who their starting quarterback is going to be. And they're going to announce that probably this week. If I'm a Dolphins fan, I'm rooting for Daniel Jones, because Anthony Richardson, to me, is such a wild card, because you don't know what you're going to get. He could be spraying the ball all over the place, or he could be hitting 50-yard darts like he did on that one highlight. And, yeah, the Colts are just not that good a team. The Dolphins have been they're 3-0 in season openers under Mike McDaniel, and it would not set a good tone if they can't win that opener.
Yeah. Hey, Alan, thank you, man. I really appreciate you coming on a little bit. We went through it real quickly here. It will be very interesting at the positions where they have some talent that other teams might be interested in. You see a potential trade happening after the cuts?
After or before? Absolutely.
Or before, yeah, actually.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me in the least.
All right. Alan, thanks, buddy. Appreciate it. We'll see you on the courts, man, now that you're playing old man doubles. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Wow, you just took a shot on
the... Hey, I might come out there and join you guys today. I'm messing around.
There you go. Sounds good.
See ya. Alan Fupart, publisher of Miami Dolphins on SI. Host of the All Dolphins podcast. I'm trying to fight it, man, not playing doubles. I'm always out of position. I'm frustrated. I'd just rather run around with my head cut off playing singles.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station today on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.